Welcome to Block Blunders, the comedy podcast where comedians from Australia and Australia only. If you're listening to this and you want to come on the show and you're not Australian, tough luck.
We've literally had UK guests.
Yeah, I know.
What are you talking about?
I know, it's awful.
We've had both US and a UK guest.
This is Block Blunders, the comedy podcast where comedians of all shapes and stripes and sizes come on to talk about movies that they haven't seen. My name is Pat Sunderland.
My name is Barry Walsh.
And we have a very special guest, a first timer. Barry, sound the first timer alarm.
Oh, whoop, 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 whoop.
That's it, yeah. Just like a police
car. We do that every single time.
Trying to freak out some people walking on the street.
Pull over right here, please.
Pull over right here. And who's pulling over? Why, it's Patrick Galamko. Pat, hello.
Hello, thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
We doubled up on Pats.
Yeah, it's a double Pat episode. We've never had a second Barry, which is good.
I don't think we will.
Yeah, is that possible? It's ever going to happen. No, I think you're the only Barry in Australia.
Yeah, well, if we do an Irish tour, we'll get lots of Barrys.
We'll get tons of Barrys. Pat, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, this is so exciting.
Yeah, man. We've been trying to tee this up for ages. So thank you so much. Really quick, one of my favorite things about Pat's, one of his bits he's got about his last name. Where you say it's like, you know how you pronounce it? You say it's like go lamb co.
Oh yeah,
like it's like cheering on a lamb, right? And it's how I remember it every time. So I thank you for that. As someone who has to introduce people and gets the names wrong of my friends often.
Yeah, yeah. I always get Sutherland is what I get.
Yeah, you
so
would.
So I have to say Sunderland like the shitty football team is basically.
Oh, I wouldn't even. I don't know the football team.
Well, good. Well, they suck. So
you
it's
know
fine.
What else I don't know about?
Yeah.
This movie that we're doing, Pat. Tell us about what movie are we doing?
So we're doing Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko.
Now we actually had a bit of a struggle for you, Pat, trying to find a film that was famous that you hadn't seen. You seem like quite a movie buff.
Yeah, I like watching the movies. You know, I studied a bit of screenwriting. I took a couple of courses.
I didn't know. We didn't know that.
But that's funny because Jenny also said that she had done a screenwriting course. And so far,
we have accidentally recruited a number of screenwriters onto this podcast. And it is not necessarily matched up with the sophistication of their plots.
But also, I think they come in thinking that we have some sort of like interaction with films, which is never the case. So they come in thinking that we're going to bring some sort of film knowledge. Don't expect that.
No, we don't. We don't. I seem like a film expert only next to you, Barry, because I've seen a film and I know what a film is. And I don't get scared and think that it's a train coming at me when I watch one.
Yeah, I get terrified. This movie was awful for me to watch. For so many reasons.
You didn't like it.
Pat, this was one of the movies where I tried really hard to be good for the podcast and watch the movie and ended up watching Shrek 2. So.
Happens 9 out of 10 times. Yeah. So before we get into Donnie Darko specifically, is there a particular type of film that you like, or are you just like a gourmet? You try a little bit of everything.
I'm pretty open. Like I like mostly comedy and action. I'm a good dude.
Do you mean do you reckon comedy and action together, or comedy movies and action movies separate?
Oh, like separate or
separate
together?
Or together. I was wondering, maybe you're a purist. You're like never together. I don't like the comedy action. What do you reckon? Like Mount Rushmore movies. Like what is some of like top five?
Top five.
Off the top, it doesn't have to
in
be
no
like
particular
your,
order.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be literally your top favorite. Just
I liked The Matrix one by all time.
The Matrix.
One of my favorite comedies. Yeah,
that movie's hilarious.
Yeah,
dude.
Man. Yeah. What if life is a video game? Incredible film. Incredible film.
Yeah, the fourth one was the comedy. That was terrible.
The Matrix is your top three out of the five. Yeah. It's The Matrix 1, 2, and 3. Boom, that's the top spot.
And for overseas listeners, The Matrix holds a special place in the heart of any Australian, or at least any Sydney sider, because so much of it was filmed in Sydney when they needed, like, we need to convey like a hellish world in which there's no hope of survival or living or pleasure. They go Martin Place, Sydney.
Yeah.
That's the place.
Devoid of any human life.
You know, it seems like you see the same people everywhere you look.
You know, you want to hear some serious Barry lore right here.
Ooh.
This is, you're going to actually, you might even call me bullshit on this. But so my dad owns
You played
a,
Morpheus in the...
Yeah, I played Morpheus.
Oh, fucking knew it.
So my dad owns a flooring company, Little Door Carpets, shout out.
Yeah.
And they, during the time they were quite big, and they supplied a lot of the rubber for the flooring in the Matrix film that stops people from making footsteps as they walk. to silence like the crew. So
that's awesome.
It was like a big, you know, they sold a bunch of underlay basically.
It would be so petty of me to accuse you of making that up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But that's the same.
Nice try, Barry.
I've had people like say that to me when I tell them little bits, and I'm like, why would that be a story I would have in my head?
Such a casual lie. So
just to slip in. But yeah, there you go. Yeah, nice. My family was weirdly involved in their Matrix movie. Not credited. Surprising.
My uncle made the virtual reality made the Matrix.
Oh, damn, dude. That's crazy.
He made the virtual reality thing that all the machines trapped humanity.
I didn't know they actually had to make that for the film.
Well, how else are you going to film it, man? I mean, just think about it for like 2 seconds.
I hope he was credited.
Yeah, that would be such a flex if Patrick was just like, my granddad was credited.
Tim Sunderland, betrayer of humanity. You know?
The architect.
Yeah.
Is that the character, right?
Yeah, that's there it.
I have seen that movie.
Yeah, there you go. I tell you what I think is an underrated action comedy that I feel was criminally overlooked. Did you ever see The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe? Came out like sort of, I want to say around 6 years ago or something?
I feel like I would want to.
It is good as hell. It's like a really good, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe play these kind of two private detectives. It's set in like the 70s and they're trying to track down a missing woman. Really funny, really, really good shit.
Really funny plot.
Yeah, super funny
idea.
Really funny. Imagine if a woman went missing, it's so funny. I'm laughing my ass off. Where's her family? Where is she? I'm like, ha ha.
Pat's favorite movie is Gone Girl.
That's like Austin Powers to me. It's just sad shit.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, what did you know about Donnie Darko coming into this? Had you heard about it? Why'd you miss it?
Donnie Darko? Never heard of it.
You hadn't heard of it?
Really? Never heard of it at all?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, I had barely heard of it. I only heard of it as like that. I knew it was maybe a movie, so I was maybe on board.
It's either a movie or a band. Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I feel like, and I won't say what they are because I don't want to spoil whatever your version of the movie is. But there's definitely a few. I've seen Donnie Darko, but even before I saw it, there were like a few things that are definitely like by reputation associated with this film, like a few images, a few kind of sounds or songs.
I could imagine that
really, you know, sort of associated. And I'm sure you know what they are, Barry.
I wouldn't know the songs. I did try. I watched the film and I tried to skip through the parts as that I wasn't bored in. I'll explain why I didn't like it because it'll make sense later. But I think people will know why.
I'm really curious to know the actual plot. I had a really hard time.
I think you're gonna nail this.
I think it's a very easy. Guessable plot.
Did you do any research into this, or what did you think about when you were?
Yeah, so I had a look. I'll tell you what I know.
Okay, yeah.
So Donnie Darko came out in 2001, which is the year of 9/11.
Well, I didn't know that. Holy shit! It's funny how those things line up.
Wait, hold on. Let me just do that. I guess it was the year of 9/11. God, feel old yet?
That's so crazy. That
9/11 happened in 2001.
My first reaction was to burst out into laughter.
It truly is just like our brains have been completely broken.
Yeah, truly.
Gut reaction.
That was when the world changed. Anyway.
Yeah, that's probably not a clue. I don't know why I mentioned that.
Hey, no.
I
loved it.
I genuinely think that is very relevant to what a film could be like.
It was written and directed by Richard Kelly, who I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him as a director.
Yeah, no, I went and tried to do a bit of a... Did you go into look into some of his filmography and stuff?
Yeah, so I know he did two other movies, yeah.
He has a bunch of other... Like, the two other movies are all sound like movies I would also fucking hate.
What are his other movies?
So he's got Southland Tales.
Well, I have not seen Southland Tales, but I'm aware of it purely because... and shout out to... Happy Jackson, who also had a film podcast for a while called Morning Stiffy. We went through the films of Sean William Scott, aka Stifler from American Pie. And that was one of the movies. And I know that's a very strange movie. Southland.
The problem with that pod is if you wanted to guest on it, you had to be willing to stay up until about 2 or 3 a.m. when they would start recording after watching the movie.
Yeah, truly there are a lot of barriers to it. but yes, and what was the other?
The Box.
The Box, yes. See, I think that one kind of got, some people saw that. I don't know. I think people liked that, did they not? Or
got 43%.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah, a lot of them got around there.
Yeah, so and I think South and Tales would have been around the same, right? Not a great.
Yeah. Movie. So this, I don't know.
I couldn't guess why. Maybe this filmmaker sucks.
Oh man.
But is it Donnie Darko? I don't know if it's good or not. I mean, I know it's a cult classic, but yeah. I don't know if it's so bad it's good or if it's like really.
That's always the question with because it truly is so difficult to guess, because some cult classics are just bad.
Some people, and I don't know, like you like it because it's within the realm of like the at the
maybe
time.
It's got some kitschy element to it that's really interesting or something like that. Maybe the story behind the film is really interesting, but some cult classics. Boring as bad.
And sometimes a movie comes out at that right time when you're a teen and it's that's that movie that you just connect with, you know? Like, so I can understand if people like it. Don't come at me if you like this movie, but I'm going to tell you right now, this movie's bad.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's an opinion. I feel like this movie is bad. If you like it, go back and rewatch it. It's bad.
Okay, that's good news because my script is
so incorporate that into your plot. The fact that the movie's bad.
I tried to make it good and it wasn't. I won't explain
any further until the end why I think it's bad.
Okay. The Box. That movie was about a couple who received the box and that gives them $1 million and kills someone.
Do remember that movie. That came out like in the last sort of 10 years, right? Like
yes, 2009.
Well, close enough. I do remember that. I remember seeing that trailer and being like, wow, would I press the box? I would, at least three times.
Yeah, I could handle three.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'd be, in my mind, I'd be like, but I'm going to give this money to charity and it'll save more lives than I took. I wouldn't spend it on charity. That's cope. That's, Simon, you know, anyway.
It's like a high school thing. Would you rather?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was a whole like,
almost like his writing is like high school level in terms of his like understanding.
Barry's lashing out at the Darko heads, and they don't seem like a fan base you'd want to make your enemy, Barry.
Yeah, well, they might fucking come after me in the future or something.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of his movies are weird.
Yeah. And did you look into the like cast or anything else? Like any other research that sort of jumped out at you?
Yeah, so I saw three posters. So
I said you could look at one poster. No. I'm kidding.
So the first poster was the head of what looks like a demon bunny rabbit.
That's definitely like an image. Before I ever saw this movie, that demon, I felt like when it was coming out or whatever. Now it came out in 2001. I was 5 years old, so maybe this is a false memory. But I remember seeing that, like certainly on like DVD covers and VHS covers, that rabbit head.
That definitely sparked a real sort of
ooh, freaky, creepy.
I don't know what I was expecting for Donnie Darko until I looked up and saw that person. I was just like, that's not what I was expecting, but I recognize it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell it's quirky because like it's a demon bunny. So like, what the fuck is this?
Oh yeah, it's quirky.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, so then this, I guess it's a collage of the cast in the face of the bunny rabbit, and it looks like an ensemble cast. There's no one that stands out.
Yeah.
And it's all ages, which is... So it's not a teen horror film, which was the rage back then.
Because
it's like Scream, and then...
Those movies basically exist in a world where adults... There's like three adults in a town and everyone else are teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chief of police, there's a reporter, and everyone, and there's a murderer, and then everyone else is a nubile young teen.
All the adults are just NPC, like GTA NPCs. They're just on their own routes.
Yeah, it's like, please, they're trying to murder me. And the guy's like, the Fighters Guild is looking for new recruits. It's a fine way to make some coin if you've got the stomach for it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And then, I have a note here. The cast is all white.
Hell yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's 2001.
It certainly was.
Which, by the way, if it's a horror film, I don't mind not being represented. You know?
Yeah, it's never good representation, sadly.
I prefer to just watch white people die.
Yeah, that's my favorite type.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. All minorities should be murdered, yeah.
That was Patrick's opinion, not ours.
Don't say it was Patrick. Say the full name.
That was Patrick Sunderland's opinion.
Fuck.
I'm going to get cancelled in the first podcast ever. But yeah, then there's two other posters, and one was a director's cut poster, which was just Jake Gyllenhaal with an axe. Which, looking at the cast, he is Donnie Darko.
He must be the main character.
And this is a young as hell Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, he's like 21.
He's a little baby.
Is he break? Is this like a breakout thing? I know he's like part of, you know, movie sort of weird royalties, nepotism stuff. But
I'm gonna say with all the confidence in my body, I think so.
Okay.
I'm not that sure. But I think this is
that's
like
a really confident role. Think so, right?
Thank you. Yeah. I reckon. I'm going to go so far as to say I reckon this was his breakout role.
That's like a 75%.
Yeah. I think it was like the first one that was mentioned.
Yeah, he looks young as hell.
Brokeback Mountain came out 2005.
Yeah, this is definitely pre-Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, precursor to it. This is what got him that role.
Yeah, this is essentially a spiritual prequel to Brokeback Mountain.
That's right.
You see him longingly look at mountains and cowboys for most of the movie.
That's it.
I fucked up there.
Him and the demon buddy. Had a...
I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain either, but I know they fuck, right?
Well, future episode.
That's going to be a real sexy episode.
Yeah.
Real steamy.
Nice.
And what was the third poster? I'm not sure
if I should have seen this one. Ooh. I think it was just a Google image, so it might not have been a poster, but it was
a fan-made poster.
It was some person in a scary bunny rabbit mask in the woods.
Oh, okay. That sounds postery.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the cast, so, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal as Donnie Darko.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Malone as Gretchen Ross. I think Jenna was in... Yeah, I looked her up. She was in Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah. That very, in my mind, very sort of similar vibe of film. That's the one that came... It's a Snyder film.
Uh-huh.
And it's like all these ladies in like... It's kind of like they're in like... sexy sort of lingerie, but they're fighting in mech suits and they've got laser katanas and shit. It was like one of his first films that he did after being a music director for ages, and you watch the movie and you're like, I see how this is cobbled together from like seven different sort of Aphex Twin music videos. They've kind of jury-rigged a plot to put it in there.
That sounds fun.
If you liked Donnie Darko so much, you'll love Sucker Punch. I don't know,
you don't know why I don't like it. it's the big mystery of the episode.
I'm so excited. And there's a few other fairly big names in the cast, right?
Yeah, so there's Drew Barrymore, who's probably the biggest star at the time in this film.
He
was fresh off Scream, Wedding Singer, and Charlie's Angels, which is the year before.
What a triple threat. What a run.
Drew Barrymore really owned the noughts.
Mm.
Yeah. And then you have some like older stars. So you have Catherine Ross, who played Elaine Robinson, The Graduate. She's like 61 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Patrick Swayze from Dirty Dancing.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. Yeah, God.
Yeah.
It's clearly notable in my head. Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't play a major.
Oh, no, maybe he did.
I would not. Would you recognize Patrick Swayze if you saw him?
No,
Barry?
Not a clue.
There we go.
Wow.
Barry has not seen a film and doesn't know what one is.
I'm also not a helpline, I promise, Pat. Don't look for me. We've had many guests come be led astray by me.
Okay.
What was it? Casablanca? Like, this is set in the late 90s, right? Yeah. You're like, yeah, yep.
I barely know what's going to come out of my mouth when I'm saying it.
It's part of the fun and excitement of this podcast.
Sometimes I claim things I don't believe.
Nice. And then there's Noah Wiley. You see? Okay.
That looks to be the recognition and has now learned his lesson.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, he played Dr. Carter in the ER, so he's like the obligatory TV guy trying to get into the movie.
Nice, yes. Yeah,
this will do it.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So this is going to be it. No more fucking ER for me.
Okay, that's not a good sign that you don't know who he is, because he was a major part of my plot.
No, I just don't. And plus, I didn't really watch the movie very well because I was halfway cringing, halfway.
If you want to fit this movie to Barry's expectations, you need to put. Like the Prince Charming in there, the fairy godmother, Lord Farquaad.
Just tell me who Shrek is and we're good.
Yeah, that will fit Barry's impression of this movie. Right. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
And then he gets turned into a human at the end.
That could be. He's a demon bunny. Yeah,
that's right, exactly.
I just spoiled it. Shrek 2, that is.
Fuck. All right, well, was there any other sort of setup you did, or was that you had that information and then you started your plot?
The only other piece I had was the movie tagline, which was on the poster.
Oh, yeah.
28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, 12 seconds. That is when the world will end.
Oh, oh, see, that's a good tagline.
There you go.
Credit to Donnie Darko. That shit is a damn good tagline.
Yeah, yeah, because it really tells you what the film is going to be about.
It's capitalizing off the Majora's Mask audience. I think that game would have only come out a year or two prior, you know?
People is that love a like video game reference?
Sorry?
Is that...
That's a video game reference, yeah.
I don't think the, the tag? That in the
tag No.
Have you played Majora's Mask?
I've heard it from... Happy Jackson's joke.
Okay. Oh. Yes, that's right. For those who are familiar, that it's a friend, Jackson Pierce, who will be on this show eventually. He lives on a farm now, so he's difficult to get in. That was his joke, Labia Majora's Mask, I believe, is the long and short of it.
I can't remember what context it's in.
I don't think as much of it. I believe, you know. A lady with a like low polygon pussy as labia majora's mask. I think that's the you know. And apologies to anyone if that's a bit too blue for you, but it's how we roll on Blockbusters. I'm very glad.
Yeah, some of the best one-liners ever.
I'm very glad we got that as a natural segue into this joke, into this show.
Is it Link or is it?
Yeah, it is Link.
Yeah,
okay. No, it's one of Link's adventures. Okay. Right. Well, yeah. So that obviously gave you quite a direction for your plot, I suppose.
Yes, that helped. Yeah.
Totally.
The biggest help. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what you need for, because our equivalent has been doing movies like. Catch Me If You Can, where there is a very clear, like the title is like a tagline for the plot.
Yeah,
it explains what is happening.
You know what, this movie doubles up on that because it tells you Donnie Darko, just there you go, he's our main guy, and then even tells you the little tagline. So
yeah, exactly,
it's double information all in one.
Well, are you ready to launch into your plot? I think beautiful. All right, this is now I don't want to set you up too. I don't want to set too high a bar, but Patrick G is a really funny comedian and he has experience in screenwriting. This is going to be one of the greatest plot summaries that you have heard in your life. It's going to be fantastic. There are going to be things set up at the beginning that tie in so neatly at the end. There's going to be twists you won't believe.
It's sideline stories that you don't think are part of the story, and then it all comes together at the end.
This ending that's so satisfying and so perfect, you're going to be in tears at the end of this film.
Not to gas you up.
Not to gas you up. That's the bar. all right, Barry, I want you to give me some Donnie Darko-esque music to set the scene, and then we will hear Donnie Darko by way of Patrick G.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna run out of words for that song.
Shrek 2, baby.
That's not even Shrek 2.
Patrick, how does our tale begin?
Okay, so my prediction, I guess.
Your accurate summary.
The demon rabbit is from the moon.
Oh!
Majora's Mask.
I love this.
Nice, okay.
Just because... that's the scariest bunny I know. Yeah. From the one on the moon.
The bunny.
There's a bunny
from
the moon?
Oh, yeah, that's like a...
Tico's, oh, yeah, moon, like...
The mountain's going to make a bunny rabbit shape, and it's part of, like, East Asian lore.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's a hell... All right, nice, cool.
Yeah, I mean, is it worrying that we didn't know that?
I thought it was common knowledge. Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah.
No, it maybe sounds vaguely familiar, but no, I didn't know that. Oh, okay, and bold for a movie with not a single non-white person in it to go, you know...
Well, the bunny was a token Asian.
Appropriating culture was all the rage in the early thousands.
Yeah, we don't need to have an Asian person in the cast. We've already taken their culture for the plot of the film. Haven't you ever seen, you know... the Gore Verbinski Ring remake.
Plus, Mr. Yunioshi turned it down, so we couldn't get him on.
All right, nice. Bunny on the Moon. I like that.
Yeah. Also, because with the tag, it's 28 days. That is the lunar cycle.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is already... This is and I'm expecting this level of detail in throughout the entire plot. That's right. That's good. Fuck.
I mean, it's either that or the bunny gets her period. So
I mean. It's just the bunny cycle.
Yeah. We all feel like the world's going to end, you know? Just three blokes on a podcast.
Three dudes talking about women's cycles.
Talking about women's cycles.
Yeah, definitely gonna get cancelled.
Nah, it's all good. We've said it's silly.
Okay, so the plot, right? So it starts off, Donnie Darko, he's a weird loner kid.
Yeah.
Living in a small foresty town in Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
And
nice.
He's bullied at school, you know. His dad's like a by the book hard ass kind of guy. Who hates his son because he's mopey and he tears up reading his own poems, that kind of thing.
He's like Troy's dad in High School Musical. Yeah. It's like, my son's not going to dance.
Yeah.
Except Troy was really cool. So his dad had a problem with him.
It's Troy's dad. Is what
no, no, I know. But it's funny that his dad had a problem. Like, already this kid is the most popular kid in school. Then you're like, you can't dance. He's like, everyone loves this guy.
No, his dad had every right to be mad. He turned down a full-on scholarship with basketball.
To dance! To dance. You know who else turned down a full scholarship? Fucking Fred Astaire. And look at Fred Astaire now. Great dancer.
Dead.
Yeah, dead. That is true.
Sorry, Pat.
I refuse to apologize for my tangents. No, yeah, all right, yeah. Very, very much. I get the vibe of this guy he's setting up.
Yeah. And cool. What about his mum? We got his mum in the picture?
Yeah, is she hot?
The mom is actually played by the first lady in Independence Day.
Oh, so, all right. So she's got a very sort of presidential air about her.
Right? Yeah.
She is the first lady in this one, right?
I did not think about her at all.
No problem. I'm sorry. I put you on the spot there. That was my bad. She's not even in the cast. Get her out.
No, she can be presidential. Okay. Yeah. Just watching her son getting beaten.
She's campaigning. That's why she's so busy all the time.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. She's out of the picture. She's campaigning. Yeah, it's posters everywhere.
Yeah. So, so one night Donnie has a fight with his dad about his future. The dad gets violent. And the mom's not there because she's campaigning.
That's right.
The dad, starts beating him up and shit, and he just escapes.
Sorry. I just love that you're miming almost like a speed boxing. This is a dad being like, quite like giving a smack or something. This is a dad going, wanted to. This is a real rope.
He's changing patterns on him.
He's giving him the road. He's dodging. He's ducking and weaving.
He does the thing where Donnie weaves back. He dodges he's like going with the rhythm of Donnie.
The dad sits back at the side of the house with a bucket of water, spits into it, gets back up.
He has a cut man come out.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. It's quirky. It's a quirky film.
Troubled at home. Troubled at home.
Yeah. So then he just escapes into the woods alone at night.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice.
And there's a full moon.
Yeah.
And that's where he meets the demon bunny.
Ooh.
And I guess he's kind of a spirit, so no one else can see him. He's kind of like a Ryukin. Is it Ryukin Death Note?
Oh, yeah.
Right, only the guy can see him.
Nice. And
right. You've done your homework. A lot of anime references on this show. This is what we. That's right. This is the language we speak.
That's right. Yeah. If you ever want to get me on board.
Donnie Darko and his dad have a sort of Vegeta Trunks relationship. I get it. I'm on board. I understand. So the spirit comes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the demon bunny is trapped, and Donnie helps him be untrapped. I don't know how, because he's in the spirit world, but...
Well, we can work through that together. That's what we'll figure out today.
Is it like when you come across like a stag with its leg in a trap or whatever, and you release it from the trap and you kind of both regard each other and it's the beauty of nature and it scampers off into the woods?
Except he's a demon.
The demonic version of
the
that.
Bunny does a really polite bow and then thank you, and then runs like a normal human into the woods, just
naked from the waist down, dick flapping in the wind,
legs it.
So they
have a chat. There's a scene of them kind of chatting and like bonding, or
yeah, so the bunny's like, thank you, I was trapped in the moon for like 50 million years.
Oh shit. Hang on, so he breaks him out immediately, all right?
Yeah, this is how they mate. Yeah.
So he breaks him out immediately, yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
And it's like, I got stuck on Earth, and it's great to be out. And Donnie's like, well, who, like... Really? You're from the moon?
That's the kind of shit I would say in that situation. You're from the fucking what? That'd be my thing.
Just stay away from me, you lunatic.
Luna.
And yeah, he's like, prove it. Prove that you're from the moon. And he goes,
prove it.
This is good. This is good. Yeah, he's being
sensible. What does he do to prove it? This is great.
And he goes, look at the moon. And there is no rabbit on the moon.
Holy shit.
I don't know.
So the thing is that the mountains on the moon cast a shadow that sort of looked like a rabbit on the face of the moon. Is that the idea?
Yeah, right.
That's fucking sick.
I wonder if this is the thing that you and me, like everyone else knows about, and you and me are just like, what the hell?
Why is
maybe it's
rabbit?
A white person thing. So yeah. Donnie, that's not
have you heard
nothing.
The moon being made of cheese? That's the white person equivalent of that.
Yeah,
Wallace and Gromit booking it to the fucking moon.
I'm waiting for the cheese to be a part of this. Yeah. Is that...
I should have added that in. That's a really good point. This is an American movie.
All right. So yeah, the shadow is gone from the face of the moon. Oh, interesting. Spooky.
He's like, fuck the rabbit.
The fucking rabbit.
Yeah. He's like, whoa.
We're always talking about the rabbit on the moon.
And then the rabbit's like, yeah, so you want to hang around? You want to go to town or something?
Yeah.
These guys chill. Awesome.
Chill.
And so they go to the town, totally, and they have a great night. You know, they sneak into.
Would you turn that down, right? Why would you?
Yeah. They prank the. They go into a bar. They sneak into a bar because he's underage. And
sick. Oh, nice. Right. So yeah, this rabbit is fucking chill as hell.
Down to hang. Awesome. Yeah, this is like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah,
freed a demon bunny.
Yeah.
Thank you for freeing me from my imprisonment in the moon for 50,000 years. Would you like to have some shots with me? Fun news?
That is how I imagine it. He's fun. He's a
fun guy.
And they prank. They steal money from the cash register.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. Classic prank.
The bunny's keeping watch while Donnie's got a stocking over his head and a gun. Be like, give me everything to the fucking register.
They soften up.
Come on,
a few
dude. We gotta chill. Shut the fuck up, bunny. I've got this. I'm handling this.
But they leave laughing and having fun.
Yeah. Arms around each other, you know.
The bunny is it's like a devil whispering in his ear. It's a bad influence on them, but they're having fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go home, and the dad's been drinking and like yells at him shit.
Yeah,
it's like, you shitty son. And then the bunny like tells Donnie how to respond.
Oh, he's giving him quips in the ear, tell him he's a stupid fuck.
Yeah, he tells like, and then he says some weird shit to his dad, like, did you know seals molest penguins or something?
It's the classic. The classic. If anyone's ever mad at you, you just got to pull out the "Did you know seals molest penguins?" And it's such a out of left field that it leaves them reeling.
For
a devastating counterblow.
You just left them.
Is that true that seals molest penguins?
I just saw it on the Michelle Wolf special.
I'll go ahead and say
something like that.
I'll give the Barry Walsh tick of approval. Yeah, that's true.
It's just solid gold. Your word in these matters, Barry.
That's right.
No, I believe it. I can believe it. Yeah, I really like the vibe of this movie. This is like, have you guys ever seen Harvey, the old 40s? So it's this old Jimmy Stewart movie from like the 40s or 50s, where it's all about this guy who's got a giant rabbit as an imaginary friend.
Oh, and I've seen things that reference this.
Yeah. And so the whole movie is about people like, everyone, like, he's being sent to an insane asylum and all that. But meanwhile, he's just a really chill guy and he's just good friends with his imaginary friend. And he's like, this is harmless. What's the big deal? This is like the edgy 2000s remake of that story, so far at least. I really like this kind of vibe of like, he's making him stand up for himself. It's like a metaphor for puberty.
He's telling
a 50,000-year-old rabbit demon stuck in the moon.
I have to say, the writing is very on brand as well with the randomly bringing up like a fact about seals. Molesting.
I'll give you
a green tick right there, Pat.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Very nice.
I'm trying to make it quirky, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing it right.
Let me just check the quirk meter. Oh, this shit's off the chart.
Yeah, this shit's quirked as hell.
This shit's quirked. I'm like the guy from that Chernobyl TV show being like, the quirk meter is reading 20 quirks. It's not bad, but it's not horrible. And another guy's like, 20 quirks is as high as the quirk meter goes.
It's
this
enough.
Shit is quirked up. We need to get the fuck out of here.
We're all about to get quirked.
It's going to be quirked up.
They all turn into like, you know, zany figures.
There's going to be quirked up white boys wandering this wasteland for millions of years. You can just tell me to shut up whenever you want, Pat.
No, I love this. I love the,
We'll cut a lot of Pat.
We'll cut most of what I say.
No, that's what makes the pod.
It's funny, we say that all the time. We cut so little because we...
Well, it's because I'm in charge of the edit. Every time I'm like, it's quitting time.
Yeah, true.
I'm kind of cut just about enough of it. Yeah. All right, yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, okay, so his dad's scared of him now. And he goes to his bedroom. And
damn, like, just from that one fact? That
was chilling and creepy. Yeah.
It was the delivery.
Did you know?
It's all in the delivery.
Yeah, so he's finally found kind of a friend. And so he asks the bunny, why are you on Earth? Like, what the fuck are you doing here? And the bunny's like, well, while I was trapped on the moon, I've been observing humanity. Right? Ooh. And the civilizations, they rise and fall, and misery just begets misery, and existence is absurd, and any attempts to find meaning are futile, you know, just your basic Hollywood.
Yeah, easy to say from an immortal bunny who's been trapped on the moon for 50,000 years, all right?
Yeah, well I mean, I was enthralled.
It's all great to point fingers. What has this rabbit done to better society?
He's coming down.
It sounds like he's been a bit judgy. Yeah, I suppose he probably has a solution. I bet it's not destroying the Earth. we'll find out.
It is absolutely destroying it.
Luke, you come up with another solution, I want to destroy the Earth. But for now.
Yeah,
no, you nailed it. He's
nailed it, Pat.
He's judged humanity and found it wanting. He's going to destroy us.
Yeah, he's going to destroy it. He's only got 28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, nice. 12. Till the next full moon, because the power of the full moon is going to destroy.
Classic. Yep.
And he goes to Donnie, do you want to help me do it?
Yeah, you're gonna be my Noah.
yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, nice.
And Donnie's life is so shitty, he's like, all right, I'll help you, man.
Totally.
Yeah.
You're my own.
He's friend. All in.
Troubled teen.
You just helped me with my dad.
Yeah. Hey, if destroying the world includes destroying my dad, I'll do anything you want.
Destroy my stupid mom's campaign.
Okay. Ooh. So we've really set up our stakes here. But our main character is all in on destroying the Earth. He's like, yep, chill, let's do it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so he's so this is where I'm just kind of
what we need is a sound effect for this moment in every episode where someone goes, and so that's what I prepared. Yeah.
We need the sound of like a person going down a slide. Here we go.
All right, now, so
they stick the landing?
So how do they go about then preparing for this ritual to destroy the Earth?
Coming into action.
So what I came up with is he has to build a wooden spire in the woods.
This is very Noah.
It's extremely Noah. Yeah. That's a good point.
No, don't leave it out, Pat. I love this.
It's the oldest story ever told. It's the classic.
It's stories on... That's every... I mean, like, that's pretty much the premise of the podcast. Every story is almost the same.
He's not saving anyone, though.
No. No, we're not getting two of every animal on this spire.
Yeah. And, he's only got 28 days to do it because the demon gets sucked back into the moon for another 50 million years.
He can't break him out again. That would be preposterous.
Yeah. And so what will happen is when the full moon occurs, the spire will harness the moon's power to burn the surface of the Earth.
Oh, awesome. Ooh,
chill.
I love it.
And kill
moonbeam.
Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the other idea it would raise all rabbits from the dead to kill all the humans.
Ooh, I think I like that more. Can we bring all the rabbits back from the dead?
That's fun.
It's got like an Australian low budget horror movie vibe to it.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the other cut of the rabbit proof fence.
Yeah, this is the fence proof rabbit. Which I guess is rabbits anyways, because the rabbit proof fence famously didn't work. But
we didn't make it out of stone, that's why.
That's true, yeah. Again, for our international listeners, in the attempt to stop the massive rabbit plague in Australia, they were like, let's build a fence across the entire country. And they did it, and it didn't fucking work.
And don't look up the movie thinking that it's going to be about that, because the movie is very sad, unless you want to get some education about the horrible history of Australia.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I should check out that as an Australian.
Good movie, sad movie.
Yeah.
Much like almost every Australian movie.
Except for...
We don't do a lot of funny comedies. Except for Kenny.
Shout out.
Shane Jacobson coming on the pod next week.
To promote Kenny.
Yeah, to promote Kenny. Sell tickets.
All right, so after school, every day, Donnie goes into the woods with an axe. That's why, because
the poster with the axe. Yes, yeah, nice, yes. Nice. I like that.
And chops the trees down for the spire. And then he's hanging out with his bunny while he's chopping wood, and it's fun. They crack jokes, yeah. All that shit.
They drink beer. I don't know. I'm
they drink beer. Beer. They,
yeah, it's still super chills.
Yeah.
He kicks pine
cones. They're playing Cards Against Humanity, right?
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity while they're committing a crime against humanity.
Ah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, good.
And then he's still going to school, but he's scary now. You know, he's saying all these satany things to random students.
Yeah, different vibe.
Yeah.
And the girl Gretchen,
uh-huh,
kind of likes him.
I was gonna say this makes him popular.
Yeah,
surely.
Yeah.
But she also kind of liked him before, so she's like starting to be worried about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they do an assignment at school together or something, and they start hanging out and get close. Yeah, he starts getting close to her, and the rabbit doesn't like it.
Mm.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
it's distracting him from his goal, and the rabbit is bored sitting through the dates and stuff.
Yeah, they're doing that trope where, you know, it's like someone, he's got a thing in his ear that's telling him what to say during the date, but it's the rabbit, be like, tell her her teeth are long and pointy. Rabbits love that shit.
Yeah, date sabotage.
So. Well, I mean, none of the dates end in them robbing the restaurant, so.
Yeah. It's not like our children. Right. So is this starting to make Donnie question his Darko mission?
Yeah. So he's got, that's the... what do you call it? Conundrum.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Every good story has conflict. And this one is that the rabbit wants him to destroy the world and he wants, like, to fuck. Like, can't I do both?
On one hand, the destruction of all humankind, but on the other hand...
It's ironic because it's usually the rabbits that do the fucking, you know?
Yeah, the rabbit's like, dude, I get it. I understand.
Just 1 month is all I'm asking.
Yeah, it's tough. You're in estrus.
It's like a no-nut November, you know? Like, just think of it like that.
Yeah, okay, so meanwhile, there's a professor, Kenneth Monitov, who's Dr. Carter, ER guy. So he's a demon expert from Stanford.
Of course.
I'm a Stanford lad, I majored in demonology.
Yeah, well-versed in the bunny lore, and he realized the rabbit is missing from the moon.
Oh, he sees that straight away.
Yeah. Nobody else does, because they're all like, you guys. Yeah. And he knows the demon has escaped, and humanity might end before the next full moon.
Mm.
So he starts telling the government, he gets on the news to tell people, and everyone just laughs at him. So
yeah, it's a crackpot joke kind of story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then he's fired from his teaching job. Like at the university for embarrassing the university.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, maybe I am a joke. But then his assistant, Karen Pomeroy, who's Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. She believes this theory and she uses astronomy and physics to triangulate where the demon landed.
Dude, that is the most, that is the best like early 2000s phrase I've ever heard. She uses astrology. What do you say? Astrology and physics to triangulate. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm in. I like that of Drew Barrymore being the, I think there is a rabbit. I think it's right.
Well, she's going to fuck up that rabbit, like Charlie's Angel style.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Her and Tom Green, yeah.
Yeah, so they pinpoint the town in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and they both go to Oregon themselves to investigate, because they're the only ones who believe in it. And they start questioning everyone in town, like, is anyone weird here?
Everyone's like, yeah, Donnie is fucking weird.
Who's the weirdest in the town?
Yeah.
Well, it's between Donnie and old Finger Bones.
Yeah, Finger Bones and Donnie, they're only two. Yeah.
It's head to head. But Finger Bones says he sees a giant platypus following him around.
Yeah, Finger Bones is crazy. I don't think he's his own other thing.
And yeah, so they interrogate Donnie, mm-hmm. and he agrees to it because otherwise it's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And the demon bunny coaches him through it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Say calm.
So have you seen a giant demon bunny? No, say you haven't. Say you haven't seen a giant demon bunny.
That would really fuck us up if you said yes right now. Light a cigarette and make you look calm.
Yeah, so he seems really normal. I don't know how a demon bunny would know what normal is, but anyway.
This demon bunny
He's
been watching people for millennia. You know, he knows how to make it look cool and calm.
Yeah, true. He's been watching humanity. Yeah. Mm. So then afterwards, the professor and Karen, they see a recording of it. And you know when people think...
Yeah, I love this show. I love it. It's such a great show. Yeah, let's
keep going.
Yeah, they like look to the left or right, but this guy's looking to the side.
And
that's a hint. That's like he's looking for a prompt.
There's like a scene where Drew Barrymore is kind of like, what's he looking at?
Yeah, and like, yeah, that's so where good. That is exactly the kind of fucking thing they put, because it'd be around the basis of everyone looks up and to the left when they're thinking, which yes. is like not true. but it's the classic thing they put in a movie to be like, this is how we establish the ghosts are real. Like,
no one looks right when they're telling the truth.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You could have that exact line in like an Insidious or something, and I'd be so. In
that place. Rules. So they start thinking something sucks.
All right, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then, this part I haven't really thought out. But they have a cat and mouse game where the professor and Karen are on to Donnie, but Donnie and the demon's just outsmarting them.
Oh, yeah.
At every turn and just having fun with it.
Just it's like vocal chess, you know? They're like, you know, it's an argument sort of.
No, it's more like Tom and Jerry stuff. Like they try to crush him with a big mallet, but he runs too fast and he gets the cheese and that sort of stuff. Oh, I'm assuming, you know. They try to drop an anvil on his head. That's it doesn't work.
Oh, my bad.
All right, nice. And what's the resolution of this long cat and mouse game? Where does it go to?
Okay, so there's other stuff actually. So the other thing they need to make the apocalypse happen is three human heads.
Okay,
they have to chop off three human heads and put them on the spire.
Ooh,
yeah, just because it's a horror movie, there has to be some sort of killing.
Yeah,
So then the bunny one day, I mean, the bunny tells him this. But then he doesn't actually tell Donnie to kill anyone.
Mm.
But one day he tells Donnie to visit this cabin and he doesn't know why. And he knocks on the cabin and he meets Jim Cunningham, which is Patrick Swayze, who's just this lumberjack living alone in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the bunny instructs Donnie to pretend he's lost. And then Jim invites him in for a beer. And then they're just talking about...
Hey, teenage boy.
Oh, you're lost, are you?
Have a beer on me. Nice, yeah.
This is, very lost.
Yeah.
And then, they're just talking about weather and football and shit. And then the demon lets it slip that he knows Jim killed his wife.
Ah.
And then Jim tries to kill Donnie. And Donnie defends himself and kills Jim.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good way to escalate our main character.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bunny instructs Donnie to chop his head off and put him on a spike.
Right. I forgot to say you need to do this two more times.
One and down. One down of how many? One down.
One down of one.
Let's keep going.
And then Donnie's pretty disturbed, obviously, and he's mad at the bunny. So he's like, I need my space now. Can you please go away for a bit? Which he does. And then he goes to Gretchen for support. And then she's like, oh, tell me what's going on. And they kind of bond over their shitty childhoods and stuff. And then they kiss.
Nice.
But then the bunny somehow, I haven't really thought this through, but he tricks Donnie into thinking Gretchen is bad somehow.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
he's
like, I'm never trusting her again. Yeah. And then cuts things off with Gretchen, goes back with the bunny.
Back with the bunny.
She told me you're lame. She said you've got a tiny dick and you suck at kissing.
What? What?
I can't believe that. Thank God you're on my side, bunny.
That's right.
Tell me who to kill.
You have a big dick and you're not lame.
You have a massive dick. Kill for me.
Kill her.
And then also his mom is really worried about him, so he forces Donnie to see a psychiatrist, which is Dr. Lillian Thurman, which is played by Catherine Ross, selling her in, and Donnie and the bunny use it to just have some fun and mess with her head.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
But then at one point they actually start talking about his childhood and Donnie gets really emotional and mad.
He's like, oh shit, therapy's working.
Yeah, and then he confesses too much and gives some of the plan away.
Yeah,
so the doctor calls, the therapist calls the professor guy and goes, he doesn't pick up, he leaves a message, but she's like, I want to meet you and talk to you in secret about one of my patients. I think you might be right about this apocalypse thing.
Yeah.
But before she does so, Donnie kills her.
Yeah, nice.
And that's the second head.
Yeah. Nice. All right, cool. What's our third?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's about the idea, because Donnie is now a suspect in that murder.
Totally, because it's... Yeah.
And he was her
not
patient.
Not the best hit. Yeah. Even the bunny's there. Yeah, honestly, that was a bad move on our part.
We're going to have the fucking full moon getting here? Holy Jesus shit. Christ.
Yeah, the bunny was like, oh,
we don't have time to lay low either, so we're going to have to strike again soon.
And okay, so the police are now watching him, so he can't go into the woods anymore. He has to lay low, and he can't finish the spire. And then him and the bunny are like, the bunny's kind of pissed off with him, etc.
But I think that's rude. That's bad management. You can't get, like, you know, the bunny's in charge here. He's the one who caused the killing.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very poor management.
Damn, that bunny doesn't have his best interests at heart.
So the bunny and Donnie trick the police somehow to investigating another suspect. So they sneak back into the woods and continue building.
Hell yeah.
But now it's like a day before the full moon.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
So he's just like building like crazy, and like he's building for like 24 hours nonstop.
Yeah. Hands are splintered.
It's like Fortnite.
He's on build mode, yeah, for sure.
So yeah, he finishes the spire, and it's starting to glow now because it's like a few hours before the full moon.
Mm.
But that's when the professor and the assistant find him in the spire.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they snuck into police evidence and stole the notes of the psychiatrist.
Nice.
Nice. Easiest way to do it.
Yeah, and then they kind of figured it out. And so they fight Donnie, but Donnie stabs Karen. So she's lying on the ground bleeding.
Mm.
But the professor chants a spell that summons a coyote.
The natural enemy of the bunny.
From the dark side of Pluto.
Nice, yep. The Pluto coyote. See, we know about the Pluto coyote. Everyone knows that. That's made it across the pond.
The Pluto pup, is that what you said?
Yeah, the Pluto pup. Yeah, it's a big fucking corn dog.
That rules. I love just how casually you're like, and then the professor like says a spell.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, it's such a great thing to throw in. He's magic.
This is very late at the time. It's like 1 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. He's suddenly a magician.
And does the coyote just kick the rabbit's ass?
So Donnie...
It's a mech fight.
Donnie kills the professor as he does it.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
And he chops off his head, which is lucky because they needed the third
head. They needed that one, yeah.
Yeah, he must be... Phew.
And Karen, meanwhile, escapes. But she's bleeding, but she escapes.
Yeah.
And the coyote, and the demon bunny are at it. They're like... Coyote's just chasing
full on anime fight.
Yeah. Yeah, fighting for like the fate of humanity.
Yeah.
And the bunny's running out of strength. And Donnie can't do anything because it's in the spirit world.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. He's trying to like distract the coyote. He's like, hey, stop it. Stop it.
Running through the coyote's spirit to be like, I'll dissipate him.
Spray it with a spritz bottle. Bad. Stop it. Swinging a newspaper through thin air.
Yeah.
And then Karen bleeds. She's bleeding out, but she somehow meets Gretchen on the outskirts of the forest.
Mm. Mm.
And she tells her the world is ending and where to find Donnie, and she needs to stop him. And then she dies. So Gretchen ventures into the woods. Meanwhile, the rabbit defeats the coyote.
Oh,
what a twist.
Yeah, by tricking him into running off a cliff, much like the roadrunner.
Yeah, classic. I'm glad that we came around to that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual cliff.
Yeah, he moves the spiritual cliff.
And it makes perfect sense for the spirit to look down and then realize it's standing on thin air and then fall. It's a spirit.
Back to the spirit realm.
Yeah.
But not before the coyote destroys one of the severed heads.
Ooh, oh, great. Shit. Yes, this is great.
So now there's minutes before the full moon, and Gretchen finds Donnie. Oh, and there's the wood spire thing is glowing blue hot from the strength of the moon now. And obviously the two heads, there's two heads, and there's one, they need one more.
Mm-hmm.
So the bunny screams at Donnie to kill Gretchen.
Yeah.
And Donnie's got the axe, but...
Can he do it?
Can't. Surely he can't.
He can't. Yeah, he can't do it.
Of course.
No, we can't let that happen.
This is a girlfriend.
And the rabbit goes psycho at him. And
fuck you. Fucking hell. I'm so mad at you.
And so instead, he just throws himself into the spire and is burnt alive.
Oh.
And the rabbit just returns to the moon.
Yep.
So Donnie throws himself into the spire to be burnt alive.
Yeah, right.
There's penance for all his misdeeds.
Yeah. And then the rabbit just gets sucked back into the moon. And so you can see the moon, the silhouette
style.
Yeah, silhouette of just the rabbit. But then you can also see the silhouette of Donnie now on the
moon. Oh,
This is a big Jake Gyllenhaal on the moon. And is that the end?
And that's the end.
Oh, my God. I think that's one of the most complete plots we've ever had on this show. How refreshing to not get into the third act and be like, and then
I was enthralled.
That was good, was man. Really, that was really, really good.
Oh my god. You know what? Some parallels here and there. Yeah.
Honestly, I think there are some real connections to.
Let's go quickly into like the main connections, the real quick connect. I think like one of the most obvious ones was like you kind of got the idea of him seeing this rabbit and like being kind of coerced by this rabbit, absolutely down.
That's definitely. So he does have this thing of, and it's, you'll have to correct me back because it's been a while since I've seen the movie. But there is this thing of Donnie Darko is this very kind of creepy little sort of teenage boy.
He's troubled,
Troubled, and he starts having these dreams of this creepy rabbit. And this idea that the world is going to end in 28 days or something like that, like it says in the tagline.
Okay.
And was
the rabbit from the moon?
The rabbit was not from the moon. And it's also he's not like necessarily antagonistic against Donnie Darko. It's ambiguous as to whether he's helpful or not. It's more just this weird,
creepy sort of vision he's seeing. Wow. And it starts off with the movie starts off with him sleepwalking out of his house. And while he's sleepwalking, his house gets hit by a fucking a piece of a jet engine falls from the sky and hits
through his room.
And it would have killed him if he hadn't been drawn out by this dream. So, you know, shades of 9/11.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
but there's this thing, you know, he's a troubled kid. Yeah. Gretchen is the girl who kind of likes him. He starts to get to know.
The therapist thing, happens. He does slip to the therapist that he's been behind all of these kind of weird occurrences that have been going on around town.
Yeah, yeah.
Not specifically like the spire and the things, but there are stuff that he does through the plot. Like he floods the school while he's having a sleep. He lights a pedophile's house on fire and like it exposes that he's a pedophile and then it all kind of wraps up in a weird way of like it turns out Donnie had to die.
Yeah, it's
so he did die.
Yeah, he has to.
So
like,
he's going into this fugue state and then it ends up that it's a Halloween party and he ends up there's this moment where he sees a guy, just a random one of the random asshole teenagers, dressed in a rabbit suit, and that's what he's been seeing. He's been seeing this dude. He's just known as this bunny called Frank. And what it turned out is this high schooler Frank dressed up like a creepy bunny that he sees at the when this time is up and this time is timing up. And in this whole lot of misadventures, one of these teenager accidentally hits Gretchen, his girlfriend, in a car with a car and kills her. She dies.
Is that his girlfriend?
Yeah. And what he realizes is that the sequence of events, and it's all sort of getting into time travel-y stuff as well.
Yeah.
The sequence of events only started because he never died in that original accident at the start of the film. That he was almost meant to die with that jet engine landing on his room and killing him out of nowhere. And so he ends up transporting back those 28 days to when he never even met Gretchen and stuff like that, and he didn't get to know and do all these crazy things, and he ends up in his room again and goes, this time I'm going to stay here and let myself die in this horrible crash to prevent all these weird chains of events that happened. Yeah,
and you also
he went back in time.
Yeah,
yeah, you had the magic in it, and it's not far off.
It turns out that because one of the things is that the plane engine that fell on his house, people were like, "Well, there's no, where did that come from? There was no plane that crashed. Where did this wreckage came from?" And it turns out it came from 28 days in the future, fell through a vortex in space and time, and then landed on his house.
It's all about wormholes and things. And now we get into what I hated about the film.
Okay,
It is filled to the brim with early 2000s gnarliness. Every character like smokes and is antagonistic to each other.
Yeah, of course. Not a town pedophile, and
not a single person is likable. Yeah. And I will tell the one weird part that happens in the start of the movie. A little bit of a there's a Chinese student, and one of the characters is like, "Go back to China."
Oh, fuck.
That's the like pretty much the only interaction. Go they have back with to her.
The moon for 50,000 years.
And it's just because it's there. And then that character is just painted as like a loser character that's around throughout the show.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie. It's a shit movie.
Yeah, but honestly, okay, in terms of the accurate, like,
oh, yeah, you did great.
Your plot was quite, and also you have those elements of it. You had the sort of Gyllenhaal being this misanthropic loner kid who's got these weird things. You've got this, being made to do, compelled to do things by this spirit of a rabbit that's sort of haunting him, that he heroically has to sacrifice himself in the end to make up for the sequence of events that he set in motion in the first place.
Yeah.
All these parts, you got it.
Yeah,
that's good. That's really good.
If you just had a little bit more gnarly characters who,
I needed
respect
more
people.
Diversity.
But it was also...
I don't know if you
needed one Chinese guy that everyone hated. That's what you needed to really cinch it. But no, I think, really, really impressive performance. I think we got to rate it out of 28 days and 58
totally.
Minutes and 43 seconds.
6 hours,
And I think that's at least 25 days.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's
going
to be high 20 days. Close to it. Let's call it 25.
Let's call it around 25 days.
That's it,
really good stuff. Good stuff.
And thank you so much for coming on.
You're a very funny man. You've got a lot of good comedy stuff. Where can people see your stuff if they want to see you?
Do you have anything you want to plug at all? Or
I'm not really doing any shows. I mean, I'm going to Edinburgh in August, but that's
nice. We have UK listeners. Yeah. Check out Pat G when he goes to Edinburgh this in August.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
Socials, Instagram at Pat Galamco.
Galamco.
Yep.
Damn.
And I think it's the same for TikTok, but I only have 3 videos at the moment.
Yeah. We'll link your Instagram in the show notes.
Yeah.
And if you are enjoying the podcast, please rate and subscribe to us. I don't know if you can subscribe on things, but do so.
Yeah, you totally can. Subscribe to us on Spotify, rate us, give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Make your friends listen to us. Trap your partner on a long road trip and be like, oh, sorry, I don't have internet connection. I just have to play a downloaded it copy of, I guess, Block Blunders. It's actually this really funny podcast.
Yeah.
Force them, him or her, or them to sit through it.
Yep.
Don't pick up the nonverbal cues they're giving off that they're not enjoying it. Just make them listen to the whole thing. Then when it's done...
Before they can say anything when the episode's done, like as soon as that... Bah, 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 you just start the next
episode.
Load up
another one.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, do you want to listen to another episode? They're like, oh yeah, and you're like, great, awesome, here we go. Bah, bah,
and
bah,
Pat's
bah,
already starting the intro.
Already started. beyond that, let's wrap up the episode with the same thing we say every episode, and Patrick of course knows what it is, and he's going to join in when we say it.
That's a movie.
Oh shit. Can we do it again?
No, we can't. And see.